prayer tonight. Mary, rest for the weak and love
for the broken heart.
There is grace
and forgiveness,
mercy and healing that meets you.
Is radio station KAYT. Gina Alexandria. 88.1. Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message, already in progress, by Reverend Joseph Garner.
Call on his name. Hallelujah. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. Jesus said it's really just a matter of knocking, seeking, and praying. Asking, amen. Hallelujah, bless his name. Let us stand to our feet now. If you have your Bibles, we call your attention to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 20. Deuteronomy, chapter 20. And we want to look at the first four verses of Deuteronomy chapter 20. Now, for each point this morning, there will be a different passage, and I've asked our media ministry to cue up those passages so that when we get to them, you will be able to see them on the screen. So happy to see the daughter of the Mattins here. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Deuteronomy chapter 20, verses 1 through 4. When thou goest out to battle against thine enemies, and seest horses and chariots and a people more than thou, be not afraid of them. For the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be, when ye are come nigh unto the battle, that the priest shall approach and speak unto the people, and shall say unto them, Hear, O Israel, ye approach this day unto battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint, fear not, and do not tremble, neither be ye terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. Amen. And I want you, as you take your seats in the presence of the Lord, to think with us in terms of a subject, fighting to win. Fighting to win. Thank you, ushers. When you carefully study the lives of the great men and women of faith in the Bible, you realize that their lives were a blend of great successes as well as miserable failures. As a matter of fact, you discover that none of them were perfect except Jesus. None of them were without sin except Jesus. And none of them always got it right except Jesus. As a matter of fact, every one of them fought many battles in life. Sometimes they won, and sometimes they didn't. But it was through those battles, it was through those victories and defeats that God molded them and shaped them into the great heroes and heroines of the faith that they became. And I've come by on this Sunday morning to remind you that the Christian life is not a playground, it is a battlefield. I think I need to say that again, because some folks signed up, you enlisted, you volunteered, thinking that when you joined the Lord's army, everyone would like you, you wouldn't have a problem or a care in the world. I hate to burst your bubble, but this is the reality. The Christian life is not a playground. It's a battlefield. You need to know that battles are not a normal part, are not only a normal part of your Christian life. You need to know that they are really necessary for your spiritual growth, and they are necessary for your spiritual development. Tell your neighbor, if you're going to win as a believer, come on, tell your neighbor, and I know a lot of you made that vow. I saw it on Facebook. I'm not telling my neighbor nothing in 2020. All right, but help me out. Tell that neighbor, say, neighbor, if you are going to win as a believer, you will have to fight sometimes. Hallelujah. And let me pause here parenthetically and tell our young people, because I don't want, amen, any of our young people to get to school, Brother Lott, Minister Lott, to get to the school and get in altercations with your schoolmates and then tell your principal, Pastor Garner said, it's okay to fight sometime. No, that ain't the kind of fight I'm talking about. Amen. So young folk, please don't tune me out now, because the fight I'm talking about is not with people. I'm talking about spiritual warfare. Amen. Yes, sometimes it will involve people, but how many of you know, and the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Paul said over in Corinthians that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. If you're going to fight this fight that I'm talking about, you better have the Holy Ghost. You better have some word, amen? Amen. So yes, as a Christian, you will have to fight spiritually, because it is on the battlefield of life that our faith is tested. It is on the battlefield of life that our godliness is developed. It is on the battlefield of life that our Christ-likeness is molded. You and I will win some battles, and we will lose some battles. On our journey to heaven, it will be said that some of us have experienced the thrill of victory, but we've also had to experience the agony of defeat. Is there anybody here today you've ever felt like an absolute miserable failure? Amen. Have you ever had that hopeless feeling that no matter how hard you try to live for God, no matter how hard you try to give up this or give up that, it seems like you're doomed to failure? Well, I would submit to you today that everybody in this room has had some of those feelings. Do I have any witnesses here? Even the most devout, the most godly people you know have also had those feelings. Every Sunday, seated in church pews across America and all across this world, there are Christian brothers and sisters just like you and me who are battered and bruised and wounded and discouraged from fighting life's battles. And like you and me, they are looking for hope and comfort and encouragement. Well, I've come by on this Sunday morning to encourage somebody that you can fight to win. It's with this thought in mind that I want to start, and I'm starting this morning a series of sermons that I am entitling Fighting to Win. Amen. And so over the course of the next few Sundays, we will cover such subjects as fighting to win against temptation, fighting to win against worry, fighting to win against anger, fighting to win against pride. Amen. I've come by, my brothers and sisters, to remind the church of God that we have what it takes to win. I said we have what it takes to win. Now, I need you to understand from the very outset that I'm not going to be speaking to you as somebody who has mastered life's battle. But rather, I will be speaking to you as a wounded soldier speaking to other wounded soldiers. Is that all right today? Is there anybody in Pleasant Hill real enough to accept the fact that your pastor has some fights, has to fight some stuff too? Is there anybody in Pleasant Hill real enough, amen, to accept the fact that I'm your pastor, but I've got my own battles that I have to fight, that if it had not been for God who was helping me, come on, you're not by yourself. You out there looking at me, but let me tell you, I have to fight every day, every day. Come on, where are my witnesses? Y'all know we pray at night, Lord, amen, deliver me, and Lord, I thank you, and Lord, I bless you, and we go to bed, but when we get up in the morning, that same devil that we had to fight yesterday is sitting on the edge of the bed waiting on us to get up. Come on, where are the real folk in the house? See, some of y'all act like y'all wake up in the morning, amen, praising and thanking and all of that, but there are some of us who have to admit we've got to fight our way through. Come on, when some of y'all know when you get to that job tomorrow, there are some devils and some demons that are waiting on you to get there, and you can't wait till you get there to start praying. Do I have any? You can't wait till you get there to find a praise in your heart. You've got to do it in advance. So let me tell you up front, I've lost many battles over the course of my life. Like you, I failed the Lord more times than I care to remember. And like you, I have experienced times of great discouragement and defeat in my walk with Christ. And I'm not joking when I say that I need this sermon series just as much as the rest of you. Amen. Here we go. The truth is, when we try to live the Christian life, we've got to do battle with three formidable enemies. Three formidable enemies. First of all, we must do battle with what I call the outer enemy. The Bible calls it the world. Turn in your Bibles on the screen, 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, and there you will find these words: do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. So here we go. Here's our first enemy we've got to deal with. Now, please understand that the term world is used three different ways in the Bible. First of all, there is what we call the created world or the physical world. Genesis 1 and 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void. Amen. The mountains, the oceans, the rivers, the lake, and the sky. So that's one term. That's one way to look at world. But then secondly, the term world is used to relate to people. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But those are not the two I want to talk about. Amen. We want to talk about the third connotation of the world, sometimes referred to as the worldly system, the world's way of thinking and living. This is the satanic system that is diametrically opposed to God and God's people and all things holy. Now, you'll notice in verse 16, and I hope y'all are still there in 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. If you can put verse 16 back up on the screen, you will notice that in verse 16, John mentions three values or three lifestyles that are promoted by the worldly system. Number one, the lust of the flesh. Number two, the lust of the eyes. And then number three, the pride of life. Let me take a quick minute and break these down for you. First of all, the lust of the flesh refers to hedonism. That is living for the gratification of one's physical and sensual needs. But then secondly, the lust of the eyes refers to materialism, or living for the accumulation of money and material things for one's own personal gain and enjoyment. I've come by to tell you today that if you are a Christian, you ought not be living to please your flesh. If you are a Christian, you ought not be living, amen, to get more and more and more. Remember the man who built the barns, barn after barn, and he said, I'm going to store all this stuff up, and I'm going to one day sit back, eat, drink, or be merry. But the Lord said to him, thou fool, this night thy soul is required of thee. My brothers and sisters, please, if you don't understand me, don't misunderstand me. There is nothing wrong with getting. There's nothing wrong with having nice things. But I said last Sunday, the problem comes in when those things have you. Amen. When you let stuff keep you from coming to church, when you let stuff keep you from praising God, when you let things, material possessions, hinder your worship and praise, the Bible says they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And somebody ought to be glad today that your worship is not predicated on how much money you have in the bank. Somebody ought to be happy today to know that your worship and God's love for you is not predicated on how many bedrooms and bathrooms you have, and how many square feet your house is, that your worship and your praise is not predicated upon what kind of dress, whether you have on a St. John or Walmart, whether you have on a Yves Saint Laurent or Louis Vuitton, whatever it is, amen, you ought to thank God that God's love for you is not predicated on stuff. If you think about it, amen, we're bombarded every day by commercials and by advertisements and by people, amen, that are trying to make us feel like we don't measure up because we don't have certain things. But I thank God. I thank God. But amen, that no matter what I drive, no matter what I live in, I'm a child of the King. Come on, we're the children of the Most High God. So there is this lust of the flesh. There is the lust of the eyes, materialism. But then the third thing that the worldly system promotes is the pride of life. That refers to egotism or the pursuit of power. We're seeing it on the national level, the pursuit of prestige, popularity, or fame. I've come by to tell you today that these values and lifestyles that the worldly system promotes are intended to distract and seduce people away from a loving relationship with God while at the same time promoting the love of self. If you need a witness that can inform you the danger of you getting lifted up in yourself, can I call a witness? Now, I don't want him to show up, amen, but Lucifer would be a good witness to tell you the danger of you getting caught up in yourself thinking that you're better than God, amen. The Bible says God kicked him out of heaven. And I told the choir this Thursday night to remind them how important their worship and praise is, because the three archangels that God had in heaven, he had Gabriel, who was the archangel of the word. When God wanted to send a message, he'd send Gabriel. There was Michael, who was the archangel of warfare. When God wanted to fight, he would send Michael. But then there was a third archangel, Lucifer, who was in charge of worship, and he got beside himself. God gave him the right foot of disfellowship, kicked his tail out of heaven, and God said, instead of me raising or promoting another angel to be in charge of worship, God said, I will kneel down on the banks of eternity and scoop up some dirt and some clay and make for myself a people who will worship me and give me praise. That's why Peter said in 1 Peter 2:9, we are a chosen generation, we are a holy nation, we are a royal priesthood, amen, that we should show forth the praises of him who brought us out of darkness into the marvelous light. Is there anybody here today who don't mind taking the devil's place? Since he didn't want to do it right, I will give him praise. I will tell him thank you. He's been good to me. We're bombarded by these worldly values, worldly lifestyles. Every day we sit on the TV shows, the movies we watch, the books we read. We even sit on the billboards along the highway. I'm telling you, it's almost impossible to diet, amen, and watch TV. Because just when keto kicked in, Burger King comes up on the screen. Do I have any witnesses here today? We're in the world, but we're not of the world. In other words, we live in this world, but please hear me good. We are not as kingdom citizens. We're not supposed to live our lives by this world system. Amen. 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 That's why every day we have to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, and we've got to put on the whole armor of God so that we can take a stand. But not only must we do battle with an outer enemy, the world, we've also got to do battle with an inner enemy, and we call that the flesh. Turn in your Bibles, Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7, verses 14 through 23, and it's on the screen. It says, Paul says, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which, this is Paul talking, for that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, this is Paul talking, that do I. Verse 16, if then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Here it is, verse 18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would do not, for the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, this is a tongue twister, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. And then verse 21, I find in a law that when I would do good, come on, don't y'all leave Paul out there by himself. I find then a law that when I would do good, come on, where are my other folk up in here? I'm going to raise my hand, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Verse 22, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into the captivity of the law of sin which is in my members. Now, just as the term world has three different connotations, I need you to know that flesh has three different connotations. Sometimes flesh refers to, in the Bible, refers to meat, like the meat of an animal that we eat for food. But then secondly, flesh refers to this outer layer of skin, which is the largest organ, amen, in the body. Did y'all know that the largest organ in the human body is your skin? It's an organ, amen. And so sometimes flesh refers to this shell that covers us. Remember when Adam laid his eyes on Eve for the first time, he said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh." But this is the flesh we want to talk about, the third connotation. Sometimes flesh refers to our sinful nature. That's the inner enemy that I want to talk about, because some of the greatest battles we fight in the Christian life are with ourselves. Somebody ought to say amen. And if you haven't had a fight with yourself, you're really not striving to be all that God wants you to be. And I get disturbed by church folk who always have a fight against somebody else, always have a complaint against somebody else, always condemning somebody else, always, amen, fussing about what somebody else said or what somebody else did. Chances are you haven't had a real good look at yourself. Because every morning when I get up and I look at the man in the mirror, before I can think about what my neighbor is doing, before I can think about what my classmate is doing, I've got to take a good look at myself and say, "Lord, it's not my brother, it's not my sister, but it is me. I'm standing in the need of prayer." Where are my folk who've had to fight yourself? When you and I accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, the Bible says we became a new creation. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. In other words, God transformed us from the old man we used to be into a new man. And the way God did it was by giving us the gift, the presence, the person of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost wants to work in our lives to mold us. He wants to shape us. He wants to conform us into the image of Christ. The Holy Spirit wants to transform the way we think, the way we act, and the way we live. But there's a problem. Because every day the Holy Spirit is nudging us towards perfection. Every day that the Holy Ghost is pushing us towards Christ's likeness, something stands up in our hearts, and it is our flesh. Y'all know it, don't you? The Holy Spirit leads us to do what pleases God. But the flesh leads us to do what? What pleases us. The Holy Spirit is leading us to be humble, but the flesh is saying, what we said in the deacon meeting there earlier, if you got it, flaunt it. The Holy Spirit is leading us to forgive, while our flesh is leading us to hold on to anger and hold on to resentment and keep hating folk. And then we run up in the church talking about, I was going to give God my very best praise. And I'm reminded of Jesus telling some folk who came in to give an offering. He said, before you give your offering, you need to get that relationship with your brother right first. God can't receive your offering until you get your relationship right with your brothers and sisters. We've got to let the Spirit lead us and guide us to get over some things. The Holy Spirit is leading us to be sexually pure, but the flesh is saying, it's your thing. So here's the question. Who's winning the battle in your life? See, I took your attention off of that person on the pew with you. Who's winning the battle in your life? Is your flesh winning, or is the Holy Spirit winning? Are you driven by your cravings? Are you driven by your lust? Are you driven by your desires? Are you driven by your feelings and your emotions? Or are you yielding and surrendering and following the Holy Ghost? Galatians 5:16-17 says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Every day,